نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فنتكتني بالشرح الصنة of Imam al-Barbahari رحمه الله. The last time we had point number 103. Just to summarize very quickly something from that which we had. Then we had the point that there in the previous sections mentioned the deviation of the Jahmiyyah and the corruption they caused. Then the Imam made the point that there will continue to be a group of people of the truth and the Sunnah. This will continue in this nation. So as Shaykh Fawzan said, the truth, we should be in no doubt that the truth will remain, and there will remain a group of people upon it. No matter what trials and tribulations come upon them, there will be a group who remain upon the truth. And that what is required from those who are upon the truth is to have patience, to have sabr, to have patience upon it, no matter what befalls them. For indeed, there will remain people upon the truth and the sunnah, guided by Allah, and guiding others by Allah's permission. Those people who revive the sunnah in every age, and repel from the deen the distortions, misinterpretations and innovations. And that this will continue, this group will continue, until the end of time. Until the command of Allah the Most High comes about, until that wind comes, which the gentle wind which comes and takes the souls of the believers. Just before the end of this world, and then there will remain no believer upon the earth, rather only the worst of people will remain, and the hour will be established upon them. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he brings the next point, point 104, what occurs here on page 49. He's saying, rahimahullah, wa'alam rahimakallah anna al-ilma laysa bikathrati riwaya wal-kutub wa'innama al-alimu man ittaba'a al-ilma wa-sunana وإن كان قليل العلم والكتب ومن خالف الكتاب والسنة فهو صاحب بدعة وإن كان كثير العلم والكتب. He's saying, رحمه الله, and know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that knowledge is not in being able to narrate much, and in having many books. Rather, the scholar, the alim, is the one who follows the knowledge and the sunnahs. Even if his knowledge and his books are limited. And whoever opposes the book and the sunnah, then he is a person of innovation. Even if he narrates much, and has many books. Just a small side point before the explanation. Then where we have in the line in the text here, in the middle, وَإِنَّمَا الْعَالِمُ مَنْ اِتَّبَعَ الْعِلْمَ وَالسُّنَنَ. This is what occurs in some of the versions of the book, and in other versions it's slightly different. In other versions they have, وَإِنَّمَا الْعَالِمُ مَنْ اِتَّبَعَ الْكِتَابَ وَالسُّنَّ. And rather, the scholar is only the one who follows the book and the sunnah. So some versions have the scholar is only the one who follows the knowledge and the sunnahs. And some versions have that the scholar is only the one who follows the book and the sunnah. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, he's saying, wa'lam rahimakallah anna al-ilma laysa bikathrati riwayati wal-kutub. And know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that knowledge, al-ilm, is not in being able to narrate much, and in having many books. Sheikh Fawzan said, al-ilm, knowledge, is not in knowing many things and reading much and having many books. Al-ilm, knowledge, is only through having fiqh, through having knowledge and understanding. وَبِالْإِتِبَاء, and through following. وَالْأَمَلْ, and in acting, in action upon that. Even if the person has only a little knowledge, the actual knowledge is in having fiqh, knowledge, in having proper understanding, and in following, and in action upon it, even if the person's knowledge is little. So a small amount of knowledge, along with righteous action, and with correct understanding of the religion, is something that is much, something plentiful. Small amount of knowledge, but based upon it, righteous action, al-amal salih, and having fiqh, correct understanding of the religion of Allah, then it becomes something much that is abundant. Whereas having a lot of knowledge with little action and without ittiba, without following, there is no benefit in it. So the Yahud, the Jews, have amongst them people of knowledge. They have ahbar, they have rabbis. And yet, despite this, it does not benefit them. Their knowledge does not benefit them. And they became those upon whom there is anger, because they disobeyed Allah upon knowledge and insight. So what is intended is not to have a large amount of knowledge and to have read many things. What is intended is al-amal, action. This is what is intended by knowledge. And this is the path of those upon whom Allah has bestowed His favour. I mean, those who act upon their knowledge. He said, just as He, the Most High, said, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The parts of the two ayahs from Surah Al-Fatiha, the first surah, ayah 6 and part of ayah 7, with the explanation, guide us upon the straight path, the path of those upon whom you have bestowed your favour. Shaykh Fawzan said, and they are Ahlul Ilm wal Amal, and they are those whom Allah has bestowed His favour upon, they are the people of knowledge and action. غير المغضوب عليهم, part of the ayah with the explanation, not the path of those upon whom you have your anger, not the path of those upon whom you are angry with. Sheikh Fawzan said, and they are those who possess knowledge without action, those who have knowledge but don't act upon it. وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, end of the ayah, 7th ayah from Surah Al-Fatiha, the explanation, nor the path of those who are astray. Shaykh Fawzan said, and they are those who act without knowledge. They have action without knowledge. So therefore knowledge will not benefit unless it is with action. And action will not benefit unless it is along with knowledge. So knowledge and action, al-ilm wal-amal, knowledge and action, must be combined. They must come together. And this is the path of those who have favour bestowed upon them. And he said, he's saying, وإنما العالم من اتبع العلم والسنن وإن كان قليل العلم والكتب. And rather the scholar is just the one who follows the knowledge, the one who applies the knowledge, and the sunnahs, even if he only has a small amount of knowledge and of books. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, the scholar is only the one who follows the book and the sunnahs, even if he has only acquired a small amount of knowledge. Contrary to the case of someone who has acquired a great deal of knowledge, or who has many and various books, however he does not act, then this, there is no benefit in it. Sheikh said, al-ilm, knowledge, becomes much, and it increases and it grows along with righteous deeds. As for knowledge without action, then it is stripped of blessing and it will not remain. And then he said, and the ulama, the people of knowledge, are of two categories. Firstly, ulama'un bil-lisani faqat, those who are scholars with the tongue only. And the second one, the second category, are ulama'un bil-lisani wal-qalb, are those who are scholars with the tongue and with the heart. And they are the people of al-khashiyah, they are the people of fear, those who have fear of Allah. The second category here, they are the ones who have khashiyah, fear of Allah. He the most I said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Surah Fatir, the 35th Surah, Ayah 28. With the explanation, it is only those who have knowledge amongst his servants who fear Allah. Sheikh Fawzan said, so al-ilm wal-khashya, so having knowledge and fear of Allah, these two are al-ilm al-sahih. These two are correct knowledge. As for just knowledge of the tongue without fear of Allah, then this is the knowledge of the hypocrites. We ask Allah, nas'Allah al-afiyah. We ask Allah for safety and security. He's saying, وَمَنْ خَالَفَ الْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَّةَ فَهُوَ صَاحِبُ بِدْعَةٍ. And whoever opposes the book and the sunnah, then he is a person of innovation. Sheikh Fawzan said, because al-bid'ah, innovation, هِيَ مَا يَتَقَرَّبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ دَلِيلٍ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا سُنَّةٍ. He says, because bid'ah, innovation, is that by means of which the servant seeks to draw closer to Allah without having a proof from the book nor from the sunnah. He said, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa radd. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever innovates in this affair of ours that which is not from it, then it is rejected. The Shaykh said, meaning his deed is rejected. And in one narration there is the wording, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa radd. Whoever does an action which our affair is not in accordance with, then it is rejected. And in the footnote they mention that this hadith, its checking has already proceeded in volume 1, and we had there that the hadith with the first wording there, whoever introduces into this affair of ours that which is not from it, then it is rejected, was reported by Al-Bukhari, as hadith 2697, and Muslim, as Hadith 1718 from Hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. And with the second wording being reported by Muslim, that same number 1718, and Al-Bukhari in disconnected form. Then Sheikh Fawzan comments and he says, so the person who introduces, he comments upon both wordings of the hadith, he said, so the person who introduces an innovation and the person who acts upon it, his action is rejected, thrown back upon him, rejected. Because he performs a deed which has not been legislated by Allah nor by His Messenger. So Allah will not accept it. And therefore the ulama, the scholars, say with regard to action, it will not be accepted except with two conditions. And he mentions these two conditions for every action to be accepted by Allah the Most High. Two conditions have to be met. The first condition is al-ikhlasu lillahi azza wa jal min ash-shirk. First condition is that it is done purely and sincerely for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, free from shirk. And the second condition is al-mutaba'atu lir-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second condition is that it is done following the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is by abandoning innovations and newly introduced affairs. By abandoning innovations and newly introduced affairs. So every action which is mixed with shirk, then it is null and void. And every action which is based upon bid'ah, innovation, then it is null and void. And nothing will be correct unless it is done purely and sincerely for the face of Allah and done correctly upon the sunnah of His Messenger, done correctly upon the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, he's saying, وَإِنْ كَانَ كَثِيرَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْكُتُبِ. Following on from the point that whoever opposes the book and the sunnah, then he's a person of innovation. Even if he is plentiful in knowledge and in books, the Sheikh said, so as long as he is a mubtadi', an innovator, then his deeds will not benefit him. Even if he has plentiful and vast knowledge, if he is not one who follows the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather he just acts upon the saying of so and so and so and so, such and such person, such and such person, then his knowledge, there is no benefit in it. And his books, he does not benefit from them. Allah the Most High said with regard to the Jews, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ الْأَسْفَارَ. Surah Al-Jumu'ah, the 62nd Surah, Ayah 5, with the explanation, the example of those who are given the duty of acting upon the Tawrat, and then they did not act upon it, is just like the example of a donkey. It's just like the example of a donkey carrying volumes of books. Example of those who were given the duty of acting upon the Torah and then they didn't act upon it. It's just like the example of a donkey carrying volumes of books. Sheikh said, so the person who has a huge library, but he abandons action, or he is an innovator, his example is that of a donkey which carries books and does not benefit from them. As a small side point, then Imam At-Tabari in his tafsir, he mentions some of these sayings from the Salaf, from Mujahid, from Qatada, and others from the Tabi'een, mentioning the point that, I mean, like a donkey who has books of knowledge upon its back, and it doesn't know what they are, and it doesn't know what they contain. It just carries them along. That's where, anyway, Sheikh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, ends explanation of that point. And just with regard to the explanation of Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, then he said on this point, he said, I say that knowledge is within the Book of Allah and in the Sunnah of His Messenger. He said, in the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whatever is contrary to that, then it is jahl and dalala. It is ignorance and misguidance and bid'ah and innovations. So whoever claims that he is upon the truth and that he is upon the straight and correct way, then examine his sayings and his actions and what he commands and what he forbids. Is he one who follows the book and the sunnah, or is he one who follows something else besides them? So if he mixes following the book and the sunnah with something else, then he is to be counted as being from the people of innovations. Even if he has written a great deal and narrates a great deal. And the truth is following the narrations. Just as Allah, the Majestic and Most High, said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Surah Al-Imran, the third surah, ayah 31, with the explanation, and addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, if you people truly love Allah, then follow me. Then Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. And Allah forgives extensively and is merciful. The Shaykh said, and he, the Perfect and Most High, said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Surah Al-Hashr, the 59th surah, ayah 7, with explanation. And whatever the messenger gives you, then accept it. And whatever he forbids you from, then withhold. He said, and likewise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah, and he mentions the famous hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah, which will follow, a slight mention of it will follow in the chapter, inshaAllah. And follows it with the further evidences after mentioning the hadith. What is the famous hadith that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led us in the dawn prayer one day, then he turned to us and gave us an admonition, from which the eyes shed tears and the hearts tremored. So a person said, O Messenger of Allah, it is as if this is an admonition from one who is departing. So what advice do you give us? So he said, I advise you to have taqwa of Allah, to fear and be dutiful to Allah, and to hear and obey, even if the one in charge is an Abyssinian slave, or whoever lives long from amongst you, he will see great difference. So adhere to my sunnah, and to the sunnah of the rightly guided orthodox khulafa. Adhere to it, and bite onto it with your molar teeth, and beware of newly introduced affairs, for every newly introduced affair is an innovation, and every innovation is a going astray. The hadith, the authentic hadith that we've had before, quoted by Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, and others. Then the Shaykh said, and like his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of my nation will enter paradise, except for those who refuse. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, and who would refuse? He said, Man ata'ani dakhal al-jannah, wa man asani faqad aba. Whoever obeys me will enter paradise, and whoever disobeys me, then he has refused. A hadith reported by al-Bukhari, hadith 7280, from a hadith of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu. And then he goes on and he mentions a hadith of Muslim from Hudayfa radiallahu anhu with regard to the trials and tribulations that will come upon a believer. back to the main text and the explanation of Sheikh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he brings a further point, page 53 here, point of 105. He's saying, rahimahullah, wa'lam, rahimakallah, anna man qala fi deenillahi bi ra'ihi wa qiyasihi wa ta'wilihi min ghayri hujjatin min as-sunnati wal jama'ah فقد قال على الله ما لا يعلم ومن قال على الله ما لا يعلم فهو من المتكلفين. He's saying, rahimahullah, and know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that whoever speaks about the religion of Allah with his own opinion, with analogy, and with his own misinterpretation, without a proof from the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, then he has spoken about Allah that which he does not know. And whoever says about Allah that which he does not have knowledge of, then he is one of those who have overstepped the limits. Sheikh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, said, wa'lam rahimakallah, and know, may Allah have mercy upon you. Sheikh said, every sentence which he begins with his saying, i'lam, and know, is in order to draw one's attention, because it is something important. He said, his saying, man qala fi deenillahi bi ra'ihi wa qiyasihi wa ta'wilihi min ghayri hujjatin min as-sunnati wal jama'ah, faqad qala 'ala Allahi ma la ya'lam. Whoever says about the religion of Allah something from his opinion and his analogy and his own interpretation, without a proof from the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, then he has said about Allah that which he does not know. He said about Allah that which he does not have knowledge of. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, فَالدِّينُ لَيْسَ بِالرَّأِي. So the religion is not in accordance with opinion. The religion is just ittiba, in accordance with following the evidence. The religion is not based upon opinion, nor upon analogy, qiyas. And then the Sheikh said, and what is meant here is al-qiyas al-fasid, it's not based upon corrupt analogy. He's not referring to correct analogy. So the religion is not based upon ra'i, upon opinion, nor upon people's analogies, nor upon people's ideas. Rather, it is just the revelation that was sent down to the Prophet who was sent. This is the religion. He said, his saying, وَقِيَاسِهِ, one who speaks about the religion based upon his analogy, his own analogy, qiyas. Again, Sheikh Fawzan said, what is meant is al-qiyas al-batil, means false analogy. As for correct analogy, which is built upon an illah, a sound underlying reason, then this is from the fundamental evidences. Because the evidences are al-kitab, wa-sunnah, wa-ijma' والقياس الصحيح المبني على العلة الصحيحة المنصوص عليها أو المستنبطة. The Sheikh said, because the evidences are the book and the sunnah and the consensus and correct analogy, which is based upon a sound underlying reason, which is either textually stated directly in text, or deduced from text. He said, because an illah, the underlying reason for ruling, is of two kinds. The first is illatun mansusa, a reason that is stated in text, directly. And the second reason for ruling is illatun mustanbata, a reason that has been deduced. And the scholars have deduced it from different texts, but this is the actual reason for this ruling here. text. The first is one that's directly stated in the text, and the second is that which the scholars have deduced and understood from texts. He said, he's saying, wa ta'wilihi. And was it based on the person's interpretation? I said, what is meant by ta'wil, interpretation, is to shift the wording away from what is apparent from it, without any proof for doing so. And this is blameworthy ta'wil. This is blameworthy misinterpretation. In taking the wording of a text and taking its meaning, taking it away from what's apparent to a meaning that's away from that, without a proof for doing so. This is, as the Sheikh said, this is blameworthy interpretation, blameworthy misinterpretation. He's saying, وَمَنْ قَالَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَعْلَمُ فَهُوَ مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ. And whoever speaks about Allah that which he does not have knowledge of, then he is one of those who has overstepped the limits, gone beyond the bounds. Sheikh Fawzan said, التكلف is to speak about the religion without a proof. Without a proof. And that's where Sheikh Fawzan ends explanation of that point. And just very briefly to mention something from the explanation of Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi on this point, rahmahullah, and he said, I say, Allah the Mighty and Majestic has rebuked, has blamed and spoken against speaking about Him without knowledge, and He has made it equal to shirk, committing shirk. He's made speaking about Him without knowledge, He's made it equal to committing shirk along with Allah the Mighty and Majestic. Allah the Most High said, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ذَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, Ayah 33. With the explanation, say, my Lord has made forbidden immoral acts, immoral and sinful acts, whatever is apparent from them and whatever is hidden, and committing sin and transgression against people's rights without right, and that you associate along with Allah that which He did not send any proof down for, and that you speak about Allah that which you do not have knowledge of. Sheikh Ahmad said, so speaking about Allah is to speak about His book without knowledge, and to speak about His legislation without knowledge. This is haram, this is forbidden. So it is not permissible to speak about the legislation except for those who are bearers, those people who carry and bear the legislation, those who know the book of Allah, and those who know the proof for each question from the questions of the legislation. And as for the next point from the main text that we'll take as the last point today, inshaAllah, point number 106, then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, وَالْحَقُّ مَا جَاءَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَ وَالسُّنَّةُ سُنَّةُ رَسُولِهِ سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والجماعة ما اجتمع عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في خلافة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان. He said, and the truth is that which came from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And the Sunnah is the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the Jama'ah is that which the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were united upon in the Khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar and Othman. And again, as a small side point here, in some of the versions of the book, where it mentions Sunnatu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Sunnah is the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then some versions have this, and some versions have a very slightly different wording, which is Sunnatu ma sannahu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Sunnah is that path laid down by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or that path followed by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh Fawzan, hafizullah, said in explanation, he's saying, وَالْحَقُّ مَا جَاءَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَالسُّنَّةُ سُنَّةُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And the truth is that which came from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And the Sunnah is the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Shaykh Fawzan, hafizullah, said, that which came from Allah in the Honorable Qur'an, and whatever came from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Sunnah, both of them are wahi, or revelation, from Allah the Majestic and Most High. The Quran is revelation from Allah, and the Sunnah is revelation from Allah. Just as He the Most High said, وَمَا يَمْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Surah Al-Najm, the 53rd Surah, Ayahs 3 and 4. The explanation, and he, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not speak from his own desires. It is just revelation inspired. Shaykh Fawzan said, the Quran is called the first revelation, and the Sunnah is the second revelation after the Quran. And it, in the Sunnah, it explains the Quran and clarifies the Quran and makes the Quran clear. Because Allah said, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Surah Al-Nahl, the 16th Surah, Ayah 44, with the explanation. And we sent down to you, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a dhikr, the reminder, the Quran, so that you should then clearly explain to the people that which has been sent down to them. Shaykh Fawzan said, the Messenger clearly explains the Quran in his Sunnah, and in his actions, and in his sayings. And what is meant by the Sunnah in the language, meaning the Arabic language, the word Sunnah means al-tariqah, means a path, a pathway. And what is meant by it here is whatever is established from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min qawlin aw fi'lin aw taqrir. What's meant by it here is whatever is established from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from sayings and actions and tacit approvals, things that he saw and kept quiet about, a tacit approval, something he approved of. This is the Sunnah with the scholars of Hadith. And with the fuqaha, with the jurists, people of fiqh, the sunnah, the term as-sunnah, it means al-mustahab, that which is recommended, that which a person is rewarded for doing and is not punished if he leaves it. Shaykh Fawzan made the important distinction there, difference between when the term as-sunnah, when it's used by the people of hadith, the scholars of hadith, then they mean whatever is established from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regard to sayings and actions and things he approved of. And when the term sunnah is used by the jurists, people of fiqh, scholars of fiqh, imams of fiqh, when they say such and such is sunnah, then they mean, as the Shaykh said, that something is recommended, mustahab, it's a recommended act which a person is rewarded for doing, and if he leaves it, he's not punished. Then the Shaykh finished by saying, he's saying, وَالْجَمَاعَةُ مَجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي خِلَافَةِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ وَعُثْمَانِ. And the jama'ah is that which the companions of Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم were united upon in the khilafah, in the caliphate of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. Sheikh Fawzan said, the Jama'ah in the religion is that which the people of truth are united upon. And the first Jama'ah, and the first and foremost part of the Jama'ah, of the whole Jama'ah, were the companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who were the best of generations. That which the companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were united upon, is the Jama'ah. And whoever came after them, who is upon the truth, then he is the Jama'ah. It is the Jama'ah also. So the person who is upon the truth is called Jama'ah, even if he is a single person. And as long as he is upon the truth, he is the Jama'ah. Can be a single person. Even if all of the people, all the rest of the people, were upon something contrary to him. I mean, he was upon the truth, that one person was upon the truth, and all the rest of the people upon something different, he would be the Jama'ah, that one. Sheikh said, for what is meant by the Jama'ah is not a multitude, not that there'd be a large number. What is meant by the Jama'ah is those who are upon the truth, even if they be a small group. الحمد لله صلى الله على محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك